Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, the teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today in this show, we're going to be discussing about the Islamic rulings on the prohibition of marriage with one's immediate relatives. Why are those rulings there? And who are those like relatives? Like, why can't we just get married to those immediate relatives? Okay. In verse 23 of Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, "Forbidden to you are your mothers and your daughters and your sisters and your paternal aunts and your maternal aunts and brothers' daughters and sisters' daughters and your mothers that have suckled you and your foster sisters and mothers of your wives and your stepdaughters who are in your guardianship, born of your wives, to whom you have gone in, but if you have not gone into them, there is no blame on you in marrying them, and the wives of your sons, who are of your own loins, and that you should have two sisters together, except what has already passed. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful." So, brothers and sisters, the concept of mahrim in Islam. Mahrim is from mahram. And you have heard this term many a times in Islamic scripture, from the minbar, from the pulpit, from the scholars, and even in Islamic books, right? Mahrim are those people that you cannot get married to, okay? So, this concept, why you cannot get married to, is important in Islam for you to understand. And sometimes this question comes up, that if Allah has created all the men and women, you know, if we can marry this, why can't we marry this, right? Okay, it makes sense, you know, for maybe my mother or my sister. But, you know, there are other relatives, you know, that we sometimes some people propose that it should be okay. Whereas the commandment of Allah is what governs. We are no ones to decide who it is okay to marry to and who it is not okay to marry to. Because everybody's got their own inclination, understandings, but we look towards the creator of human beings. He is the one who decides and who dictates. We are the ones who submit. Okay? So, mahrim are those ladies with whom marriage is forbidden. Okay, and on the basis of it, we conclude that there are three ways by which this relationship can come into existence. And this is by the use of the verses of Quran. The first one is by birth. This is referred to as genealogical relationship. The second one is by matrimony. Okay, this is referred to as casual relationship. The third one is by suckling. This is referred to as foster relationship. So these are the three types of relationships, you know, that come into existence in the light of the verse that we recited earlier in this program. So by birth, you know, it's very obvious. By matrimony, that too, you know, you get married to someone, you know, she or he has some relatives, you know. Now they become your extended family based on the marriage that you and your spouse had. And then the third one is the suckling, which is, you know, you drink the milk of someone and so on and so forth. Today, the reality has been established that marriage between relatives and those who are related to each other, those type of individuals, it entails numerous dangers such as manifestation and aggravation, okay, not generation, of latent and hereditary diseases. So even science has proven it today, Okay. We understand it from different empirical evidences too that have taken place in the history of humankind. There are some people who, apart from the Maharim, do not even approve of marriages between relatively distant relations, such as the first cousins, okay, and are of the opinion that such alliances tend to accentuate and the dangers of hereditary diseases are way higher. Okay, we know that I had some friends who were Christians. Okay, we spoke oftentimes on the issue of getting married to cousins. In Islam, you know, there's not much when it comes to, like, we have seen people who get married to their cousins and they live an okay life. But in case of some of my Christian friends, they were really, you know, they were like, oh, we cannot marry our first cousins. Okay, so after the break, we're going to come back and discuss about this issue of Maharim and the issue of marrying the immediate relatives. Stay with us. Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is your program, The Teacher. Before the break, we were discussing the concept of marriage with one's immediate relatives. Okay, we discussed about how those immediate relatives are defined, who has the power and capability of drawing those lines for us, where who tells us who we can marry and who we cannot. And we concluded that this is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, has that power to tell us who to marry and who not to marry. Okay, we are no ones to decide that on our own. Now, the concept of Maharim we explained on, and then there are three ways that we talked about. One is by birth, one is by matrimony, and the third one is by suckling. These are the three ways that will put you into this relationship with other human beings on this planet Earth. And out of those relationships, some relationships are no-go when it comes to marrying them. So this is what we discussed before the break. Now we're going to continue on the topic and have a few more points to share with you that are going to be of interest to you. If this issue does not create problems, issue of getting married to the maharem or those close relatives, with respect to the distant relatives, and usually it does not, it is surely bound to create problems with respect to immediate relatives. Okay? So sometimes it's okay to marry those distant relatives, but not the immediate ones. And it goes back to the Islamic jurisprudential laws. Okay, again, we're not the ones who are going to decide that. Okay, amongst who the ties of relationship are more intense. Okay, so it sometimes does create problem there. Generally, there does not exist a sexual attraction. That's an important point, right? And we know it from our everyday experience that there does not really exist a sexual attraction and appeal amongst the maharim, generally speaking. We're not saying that it's the case like all the time. Some people may claim that, oh no, they do. But we're talking about general cases. What is the phenomena that there is no sexual attraction when you know that somebody is mahram to you? Since they mostly grow up, okay, the reason is this. Since they mostly grow up together and thus appear common and ordinary to each other, right? When you're kids, you know, you grow up together, you know, you go to that age of, you know, 18, 20, you don't see that attraction because you saw that person going through all of those phases of life with you. And, you know, there are some exceptional cases we see that sometimes people grow up with their, you know, neighbors and, you know, cousins and friends, you know, sometimes they're close, but they end up developing those attractions towards each other. But this is where the Islamic laws come into. And typically it's seen that those that you grow up with, you don't establish those sexual desires or sexual attraction towards. Thus, if marriage were to take place between the maharim, this alliance would be weak and unstable, okay, because of that nature of relationship that you had with that mahram, right? Let's say with your aunt, right? I mean, you've been in her lap, you know, sometimes she's been holding you, sometimes she took you to the bathroom and cleaned you up, right? I mean, how can you think of marrying that person? And let's say somebody crazy enough, you know, end up doing that, you know, the sense of that relationship is not going to be there. It's going to be a weak and unstable relationship. Although the Quran in this portion of the verse has only mentioned two groups from this category, the mothers and the sisters, according to numerous traditions, those who become maharim as a result of suckling are not confined to those two groups only. Okay, so we're talking about this third category that we listed before. The well-known tradition of the noble prophet of Islam says, all those who become prohibited by means of genealogy also become prohibited by means of suckling. Okay, so we have to be very clear about who our mahram is, who our non-mahram is, who we can get married, who we cannot get married to, and also understand the philosophy behind why it is not healthy to get married to certain people. Thank you.
You can talk it down, turn the other way. Fear the truth, but it won't go away. Can you hear it calling? Yeah.
You can write it. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. PARStoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye.
when there's nothing left around. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may fear, but it's allowed. Are you listening? 'Cause I need forgiving.